All right, we have been looking at relationships according to Romans, and I started a message on this on Sunday morning. I knew I wasn't going to be able to finish, so I turned the 3 points into three messages. So we looked, first of all, in the relationships according to Romans, we looked at our relationship to God. We talked about in Romans chapter 12 is where we are, if you're wanting to turn there. But we talked about the fact that our method, the method is that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, and the motive is because of the mercies of God, that we are, as Christians, we are to live separated and holy lives because of the motive that we have, that we are to have be transformed, not conformed. Our relationship with God is one that he establishes for us there, that we are to be different and not like this world. And then we talked about our relationship to our brethren. Chapter 12, verses 3 through 15, talked about the brethren and how God has given us many gifts. There's great diversity in the body, but although there's great diversity, there should be great unity as well. There should be unity in the body. The different gifts that are given by the Holy Spirit. There's nothing we have control over, but the Holy Spirit gives those to us as he wills, and nobody should envy anybody else's gift. But each should develop their own gift for the furtherance of the cause of Christ and for the edification of the saints, the many different gifts in the body. Then we talked about the display of grace that's found in verses 9 through 16, that we're to have our relationship with our brethren, that the graces of God are given there. There's a grace of love, the grace of discernment, tenderness, respect, diligence, zeal, devotion, joy, perseverance, and trusting. Sharing, giving, hospitality, forbearing, and caring. These are the graces that are there. And we talked about those things in a previous message. Tonight we're going to give you the third point, which is the relationship to our enemies or with our enemies. Our relationship with our enemies. And I need to turn, get into the book of Romans. And we're going to look at this. I want to start in verse number 14, kind of backing up into where we see the graces of God that we've talked about already, but dealing with it from the standpoint of our enemies. So Romans chapter 12, starting in verse number 14, and we're going to follow along with me, if you would, as we read down through the end of the chapter here. Verse number 14, "Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in thine own conceit. Recompense to no man evil for evil, providing things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." So tonight, we want to look at this, our relationship with our enemies, and how does God expect us to respond and act with those who we don't like or who don't like us for one reason or another. Let's pray and ask God to lead us through this evening. Lord, we thank you for tonight and the thrill that is ours to serve a living Savior. Lord, to gather in your house. Lord, we pray that you would give us a magnificent week at Vacation Bible School, that you would stir the hearts and bless everyone that's involved. We ask you for a few minutes that you would turn our hearts and minds towards your word, that you would speak to us with this vitally important topic of dealing with those who, according to this world, would be considered our enemies, those that would be against us, would not seek our well-being but our hurt. And I pray, God, we'd be Christ-like in our response to them and the situations that we face. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. So we see here our relationship according to our enemies. Our reaction, verses 14 through 19, our reaction. What is our reaction supposed to be in verse number 14? When someone has hurt you or offended you, you need to be forgiving. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. You need to be forgiving. What is your reaction when somebody hurts you, when somebody does something wrong to you? We need to be forgiving. We need to be able to let it go. When someone has hurt you, in verse number 15, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to be compassionate. Rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. And verse number 16, when someone is teaching you, you're supposed to be humble. He says, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in thine own conceit. Don't act like you know everything. Don't act like you've got the world by the tail and this person doesn't know anything. This is how we're supposed to act. Verses 17 through 18, when someone is attacking you, you're to be wise. Do not render evil for evil. There's four ways in which we can respond to those that hurt us. You can respond with good for good. This is man's likeness. We do good for good. Yeah, I mean, I like him, he likes me, we're good, you know, we do good for good. You can respond evil for evil. This is beast likeness. This is how the animal kingdom responds. Evil for evil. You can respond evil for good. That is Satan likeness. Would give evil for that which is good. That's like the devil. But you can render good for evil, and that's being like Christ. That's Christ likeness. That's what we should do, and that's what the admonition here is in our text. Don't fight if there's any way that you can avoid it. It says here, live peaceably with all men. I preach the message, which to me is, I mean, every once in a while I preach a good message, every once in a great while, you know. And I mean, just as far as how applicable it is to our lives, but I preach the message on pursuing peace, pursuing peace. Do you understand that is the responsibility of a believer? We are to pursue peace. But I have my rights. Pursue peace. You know, even in the home, children, pursue peace. Well, he's making me look bad. Pursue peace. Everything doesn't have to turn into an argument. I'm preaching to my kids right now. The rest of you kids can ignore it. Everything doesn't have to turn into a debate, a discussion, and who's better or who's faster. Pursue peace. That's what we're supposed to do. Do you know in many homes, even between husbands and wives, there is not peace? This is the command of the Lord Jesus Christ for the believer, as we are to pursue peace. And people that would come into church with their tie on and their Bible under their hand and sit down in church don't even have peace in their home. We're to pursue peace. Do you know Proverbs tell us that if the ways of man please the Lord will make even his enemies to be at peace with him. If what you're doing pleases God, even your enemies will be at peace with you. What does that say if you don't have peace in your home? You're not pleasing God. See, but I'm a Christian. I go to church. God said, if the ways of man are pleasing to the Lord, he will make even his enemies to be at peace with him. Looking for peace between your husband and your wife? We've given you this illustration many times. If the husband's over here and the wife's over here, and they both want to please the Lord, they're going towards God, and what happens? They get closer to each other. But when they want their own way and they're not going towards God, there's a great divide. We are to pursue peace, not just with all men, but even here with our enemies. All that is within you, he says. Live peaceably with all men. All means all. A-L-L, right? All. So, don't hold grudges. Let it go. Just let it go. You've been holding on way too long. You're the one living with the ulcer. Let it go. Don't hold grudges. So our reaction, that's our, what the Bible tells us our reaction should be when these different situations come up in our life. Now I want you to see our revenge. Verse number 19, you're like, all right, Pastor, we get revenge. What does he say in verse number 19? Dearly beloved, look how nice Paul is. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Often it's harder to hold back and wait on God than to attack. You know, especially when we think we're in the right. And we are always in the right. Because we are right, right? I mean, that's just, of course we're in the right. If I was wrong, I would admit it. But I'm not wrong, right? I mean, we just convince ourselves of these things. You know, it's so hard to walk away when we've been offended, when something's happened to us, and to just wait on God. And another level to this is especially when you feel that you have the advantage. Have you ever seen a clip, I don't know, in a movie or on YouTube or something where some guy got mad, like, you know, road rage, and he jumped out of the car and he ran up to the other car and the car door opens and this great big guy climbs out, you know, he's like, and the guy goes back to his car, like, he changed his mind, he's not that big a deal, go ahead. But if you're the bigger guy, you feel like you can get justice. Right? I can get justice. And bless God, I deserve it. Right? That's not what God says. Vengeance is mine. Kids, your brother or your sister comes by and kicks you. I just scratched my shoes. Got to polish them now. Kicks you. What do you do? Get them back, right? And then you go back, took care of that. And then what do they do? They come back the other way, and then you're running. I remember one time, my older brother David, we were playing in the yard, and he did something to me in front of my friends, and I was really mad. And I went at him. Now, my brothers and I, we didn't fight very much. But he made me look bad in front of my friends. So I went at him, and then he just stepped aside and let me fall on the ground. Well, that made it even worse. So then I stood up, and I was going at him, and all he did is he took his hand and stuck it on my forehead. And I was like this, you know. Just, I mean, I just wanted to kill him, but he's just holding me out like this, you know. I couldn't touch him. He's just pushing me away, and that just made it worse. Because bless God, I wanted my vengeance. I wanted to get him back. Kids, I'm talking to you. You need to let it go. You need to pursue peace. You need to get along with your brothers and your sisters. Your brother and your sister is not your enemy. But even if they were, God says he'll take care of it. You said, oh, but he's making me look bad. Don't worry about it. Because God knows. When I was a child, I acted as a child. When I became an adult, put away childish things. It's a step of growth for you as a kid to stop acting like you're 4 years old and start being able to let things go. Let it go. God will take care of it. Vengeance belongs unto God. If we understand the biblical principles, we can apply those. First of all, biblical principles with regards to vengeance. First of all, vengeance belongs unto God. Deuteronomy 32:35 says, to me belongeth vengeance, Jesus said, and God said. Vengeance belongs to God, and also the Lord will do his job. In Malachi 5:15, he says, I will execute vengeance. He will. We can trust that he'll get it done. If something needs to happen, God will take care of it. And we want to sit back and watch, right? We want to wait. You know, that's not the spirit we're supposed to have. He said, I will repay, saith the Lord, Romans 12:19. Hebrews 10, verse number 30, I will recompense, saith the Lord. God will do his job. Vengeance belongs to God. God will do his job, but one step further, we are commanded not to avenge ourselves. In Leviticus 19, verse number 18, he says, "Thou shalt not avenge." Thou shalt not avenge. You know, one of the reasons is that we overestimate our injury and we exaggerate the offense. The reason that God doesn't want us to handle vengeance ourselves is because we have lost the ability to be subjective. Because we overestimate the offense and we exaggerate the motives of the other person. Do you understand that God can see their heart? You can be as convinced in your mind that they meant to do that. And do you know what you're thinking could be 100% wrong? They had no idea they were doing that to you. But you are sure of it. That's why God doesn't want us to take vengeance. Because God knows their heart. Now maybe they wanted to. And if they did, God knows their heart. And God will take care of it. We're commanded not to avenge for ourselves. Let God do it. You see, Jeremiah 11, verse number 20 says, "But O Lord of hosts, that judgest righteously, that triest the reins of the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them. For unto thee have I revealed my cause." He said, "God, I brought it to you. You try the hearts. You know what's going on, Lord. You judge. Because God will judge righteously every time." Amen? We could turn this around and look at the fact when a lot of times we're the ones, we've been looking at this from the perspective of us being offended and we want to see vengeance come down on them. But what about when we've offended somebody else? Aren't you glad God's trying the hearts? Aren't you glad that God's the one that knows whether your motives were really vindictive or not, or whether they were really vicious, or you were really trying to hurt somebody? Or do you have a clear conscience before God? Well, yeah, I have a clear conscience before God, but I know that they... No, you don't. So we've got to learn to let it go. Let God be the one that brings vengeance. So I want you to see, lastly, our responsibility. Our responsibility. In verse number 20 and 21, he goes a little bit beyond just don't avenge. He says, "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him." Man, we could have stopped at 19 and said, "Okay, Lord, it's up to you. You take care of it. I'll be okay with that." But now God says, "I got to feed him. I got to do something good to them. I've got to somehow," he says, "if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink." Oh, but we like this part, don't we? "For in so doing, we shall heap coals of fire." I mean, how many times have we said, "Oh, I'll heap some coals of fire on that head," you know? Yeah, that is not the motive here. That is not what God is saying. Like, that is our heart's desire, like, "Oh, I'm going to be so good to this guy, he's going to get creamed by God." You know, that's, I mean, I'm just going to really just wait, sit back and look for it when God takes him out, you know. I'm just going to heap coals of fire. No, the last verse is in there to make sure that we understand the motive. You see, God tries the hearts, and God's going to rule justly. And our heart needs to be right before God. What he's saying is, you just do right, and God will take care of it. Verse number 21 says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." You see, God is keeping score. And God knows. For you and I, we are to do good. And even overcome evil with good. When people do wrong, you just do right. And God's keeping score. When somebody offends you, you just do right. God knows, and God will take care of it. I can let it go. I don't have to let that bother me. I don't have to let that stew inside. I don't have to keep mulling it over. I can say, God knows. And God will take care of it. I can just go on and continue to do right, overcome evil with good. I think of David Wilkerson, who wrote the book, The Cross and the Switchblade. He went into the streets of Brooklyn, into an area that was gang infested, an area that in the late 60s, early 70s, the police wouldn't even enter. The leader of what I believe, if I remember correctly, was the Maya Mayas gang, Cruz was his name, Nick Cruz. Nick Cruz, the leader of this gang, feared by many, saw this preacher, they called him the skinny preacher, walking the streets. They said, for years he had a testimony of being such a bold man, walking these streets where the police wouldn't even go. And he walked up to the leader of this gang, this street gang, and his street gang pulled out a switchblade. This leader, Nick Cruz, pulled out his switchblade, and he said, "Preacher man, I could cut you right now. I could kill you and cut you into little pieces, and the police wouldn't do anything about it." And David Wilkerson said, "You could. You could cut me into little pieces and lay them here on the street. And every piece would be saying, I love you. I love you." Shortly thereafter, Nick Cruz trusted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. You see, he overcame evil with good. Amen. You know, Wiersbe said, many times it's a lot harder to walk away from the giant than to slay the giant. I remember reading a story of a family who spent several years, a husband and wife who spent several years nursing back and rehabilitating a young man, getting him back on his feet. But when you know the rest of the story, you find that this young man that they invested their life in nursing back to health had raped and killed their daughter. That kind of forgiveness, that kind of Christianity is only possible with Jesus Christ. I can do all things except forgive. I can do all things except let that brother or sister off the hook. I can do all things except for that person that offended me. Overcome evil with good. There was a man who went to be a missionary in a foreign land to a group of cannibals. His name was Hannington. He risked it all when he decided to carry that message to them. After several weeks of being with them, the cannibals rejected the message. They executed and ate him. It is said that his last words, with a loud voice, proclaimed, "Love your enemies and pray for those who spitefully use you." This same message was carried by his two sons who went to the same village to reach the same people who had killed and ate their father. That kind of Christianity is what God wants for us. And too many Christians can't let go of something that happened from somebody that should be their friend. Tonight we talked about how we should deal with those that are our enemies. Are you living that kind of Christianity?